Hello and welcome to Unveiling Mystery. I am your host, Mercedes, and I thank you so much for tuning in with us here on Unveiling Mystery on the Web Radio Network. We are so thankful to have you as listeners. Tonight, I have an awesome guest. Her name is Kelly Fitzgerald. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. And thank you for being on our show tonight. And I just want to say, I really appreciate this. You are an amazing author. Not only are you an author, but you've had your own podcast, or you've been on several podcasts or, you know, shows like this. And you're an intuitive healer, which is another thing we have in common. So can you tell us a little bit about, I can tell as much as I know, but why don't you go ahead and you can just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into some great conversation after you do that.
Okay. I have been intuitive my entire life. I never really fit in with, like, I'd say human kids, but I fit in wonderfully with the animal kingdom. So
yay!
I went through a whole series of, you know, storms come through, blow birds out of their nests. We raise them and let them go, all that kind of stuff. But I realized that people had buried a lot of stuff, especially when I became a teenager. I was like, oh, I know why you're upset. I know why that person's angry. And I would just know. And it took me a long time to have the courage to say, hey, wait a minute, I think I can help you figure this out.
Wow.
But I had a really dysfunctional childhood. I tell people, they created the term dysfunctional family to describe my family. But, I did that, and it was not fun, and it was not pleasant, and it was abusive and neglectful and all that stuff. I had a daughter when I was a teenager. Her father was incredibly abusive, tried to kill me on a regular basis. I got away from that and realized somewhere along the line between running away from it, literally in the middle of the night, I escaped in the middle of the night. Went halfway across the country to San Francisco and met people there that were like, why are you not teaching this stuff? You survived all of this. Why are you not helping other people? And it had never occurred to me. So that's really when I started. I would use things that I had been through to kind of help other people make a roadmap. I've always done animal rescue. I still do. I have a nonprofit, Chiricahua Humane Society. I have, written a bunch of books. The very first book is about to be re-released. That's kind of where we are. I've kind of made a journey out of my own healing, and hopefully I've helped a lot of other people along the way. That's what I want to do.
Okay, so those are some key things that I didn't know. I do have something in common with you on this. A lot of things is like my very first marriage sounds very similar, where I took off and left and, you know, took the 1-year-old baby and, left quick. And that was a very, very, very abusive relationship, horrible. So that's interesting. Not a lot of people have a similar story to me on that one. And not that that's good, you know, I'm over it now.
Right.
But I do find that's interesting, because I think it took me till later, the last 15 years before I could actually want to help people with that. So I love that that was something that was already coming into your life prior to that. And that's very important. So, you know, listeners out there, if you are a person that has been in an abusive relationship, like obviously Kelly and I both have at certain times, you know, this is a person that you can actually reach out to, you know, and as we progress with our interview here, you'll you know, they'll be able to understand a little bit more about what we're talking about. So have you been working with people for 20 years on this, or has it been more on and off different times? What is the situation on that?
It's really been off and on because of some of my gifts that I have. I ended up with a lot of people who called me kind of weird, you know, stay away from her. That's a weird person. And so I sort of shoved it back down. You know, it's like it would come out because I couldn't hold it anymore. And then I would kind of rein it back in. And it really, though I've done this for a very long time, I started in 1986.
Okay.
I became a certified life coach before people knew what that was. I did counseling. I've done a whole bunch of stuff through the years, but it really, I was always sort of, okay, well, I'm going to not hand out these business cards. I'm going to hand out these that are a real business, because that's what people around me were saying. That's not a real business. And it really, once a very lengthy, that I thought was a really good marriage, once that ended, I was like, call me weird, will you? I'll show you. And then I kind of went out full bore, and I've done, you know, national TV spots, and I've done a lot of a whole bunch of radio interviews and that kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, I don't care what people think anymore. I'm trying to help a certain group of people. If that's not you, then fine. I'm not your person. You know, it took me a very long time to get there. The last 5 years, I've sort of like, I reached the point where I really don't care what anyone else thinks. And that's really freeing.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, I understand that because, you know, everyone, we kind of go through the life journey that sometimes, I know, like myself, I've been so many different things and done so many things, mm-hmm. so many different things. So the weird part, yes, totally get that. My favorite cap I always wear, not tonight, says, I'm not weird, I'm gifted. I assume you're not weird, but gifted.
Right.
So, you know, and I totally am with you on the feeling free enough to say, I am good with just trying to help a certain group of people, because sometimes that's really the group, like the word of mouth.
Right.
You know, probably right. Like people, you know, like myself, where people will call because somebody else referred them.
Yep.
That's kind of how it works, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So the animal thing, now the Chiricahua Humane Society, that's yours? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's mine. It's honestly because everyone was coming to me with, here, heal this, here, make this live, here, you know, take this. And I finally got to the point where it was either I do a nonprofit or I stop doing it. And my heart is too attached to animals to not try and help them. So I made my 501c3 in 2019, I believe it was. I think it was approved in 2020. But yeah, and I've been working with that ever since, you know, and it's definitely a heart project. You know, I've had people tell me, no one in their right mind would do what you do. Well, probably not, but you know, it's okay. It's what I do. I do have plans eventually to do another nonprofit that will assist hungry people, particularly in this area. In living where I live, I've realized that there is a great many people within a 10-mile radius that don't have enough to eat. So I'm working on putting that nonprofit together as well, hopefully this year. Hopefully.
Oh. Okay, so I actually met you in Wilcox, Arizona, yep. Through the radio station, Wilcox uh-huh. Radio. That's what my family was a part of for quite a long time. So that's where we actually met. And so the Chiricahua National Monument and the Chiricahua Mountains are so incredible. And that's your actual home, right? Your area, right. Or do you live kind of more in town, close to town?
No, the Chiricahua Mountains are in my backyard.
Wow.
You know, I'm within a mile of the actual mountain. So technically they tell me I'm in the foothills. So yeah, But
oh gosh, you're so lucky.
You know, and I have enough acres so that I can do animal rescue. I have a rescue horse, rescue tortoises like you do. You know, it's just ridiculous. And it never stops. They never stop going. So it's very healing, I find, for the land as well, to put love back into the area. It's just, and I think you and I have talked about this before. I've also done paranormal research stuff. And when I first set foot on the land, it was crying. Yeah. You know, I heard a woman just wailing, like the worst pain. And I see, so I can see spirit walking around, and they weren't happy, you know. So I did a lot of work on healing the land. And I think because animal rescue is so much a love effort, you know, no one gets into that, you know, without loving animals. You have to really love them. And I think that has played a part in healing the land as well.
I totally agree. And that's definitely what I know when we talked about you coming on, I really wanted to discuss that aspect of what you do to learn more about what it is that you do. And because, you know, I've got the upcoming documentary about our land. And so I'm totally with you on all of this. Now, what I'd like to know is, so when you saw this woman, did you see her in a period clothing, or do you think she was more of a modern day spirit?
No, she was, I have been told by other spirits, she was an Apache woman. And okay. She was, there were, where my house is now, I've been told by historians who know such things, that yeah. There was actually a pond here, which makes sense if you ever see my place. It's dry now, but when it rains, yep, there's a pond there. But it was a known camping site as they would move from the Chiricahuas over to the Dragoons. Right. And they would stop here. And there was a horrific slaughter, just terrible, terrible things that right. You know, white men came in and said, we want this land and you're going to be dead or gone. So I think a lot of that in the area, my neighborhood, was still hanging out. There were a lot of people talking about how the people who lived here were really angry and they were really, you know, at each other's throats. And I'm like, well, this is why I can fix this, you know. So I started doing that. And it really took a long time to get the land right. But you know, it took years, but it's much, much, much better now.
Can you tell us, I know the Native American tribes that were there and the main one that was there. Could you talk a little bit about what that history is right there?
Well, when this part of Arizona was actually Mexico, the Chiricahua Apache lived here, and they would routinely, you know, raid Mexican villages and steal their livestock. And that's kind of what they were known for doing. And sometimes, you know, Mexican outlaws would hang out with the Apache and they would kind of hide them, and everything was like, okay, we won't tell them you did this if you don't tell them we did that. And that's the way it was for a long time. And even though they would fight, it was relatively peaceful. You know, it's kind of like frenemies. But right. The first white settlers came in, everything changed. There were a couple of families that came in going, all right, we know you live here first, we're going to work with you. And those people never got raided, their livestock was never stolen and all this kind of stuff. But especially when the railroad started wanting land.
Exactly.
There was a big, huge slaughter after slaughter after slaughter. I'm actually working on a feature film script for that. But it's really horrific. And a lot of the time, you know, the stories that we hear, that I heard growing up in Texas, had it was the Indians were the bad guys. Yeah. You know, but they were not the bad guys. They were pushed to the limit And then they started fighting back. And that's really what happened in this particular valley. And then once it became the United States, that was a whole other layer of people coming in and pointing their fingers saying, you're a savage. And, you know, there are many, many, many stories about right. different Apache being hung or taken to jail for things they didn't do. They were kind of a scapegoat a lot of the time.
Right.
And that kind of stuff really, really damages the land.
Exactly. And this was like, if people drive through that area, you'll see Cochise stronghold.
Uh-huh.
So Cochise, and you know, there's a huge amount of history on him, but that's you know where we're talking about, the Chiricahuas, right. The stronghold. People that are listening might recognize this area from the movie Tombstone,
right?
Because that's not too far. And actually, even in the city of Wilcox, you know, they have it where they know that people came into that town. They'll do reenactments there, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of, that's the area that we're discussing right in, that we're talking about right now. And so, you know, I think what you're saying, you know, what I find interesting about the differences as we try to, I've been here 7 years on this land, and we have, you know, similar things that have occurred here. But the one thing that we had different here, as the time came to where I was finally finding out the truth, was we had a lot of religious stuff, similar yeah. to religious, the priests. There is a lot of stuff going on that apparently in history, there are records of it, but you don't really hear about it, but
right.
And it ended up, it's a lot of the curse here ended up being not only with the Native Americans or the Hispanic, or, you know, there's so many mixtures, but there ended up being this other type of, blood curse. So I think what's interesting out there, it's very, where you're at, I mean, it's pretty wide open. There's not a lot of stuff. There's not a lot of cities. It's small town, right? It's not overcrowded.
No. And, you know, the thing about here is we do have some of the same dark things. When I was talking to several people about stuff that was going around my house, there is a skinwalker out here. Everyone that has been here for a long time knows it. And it was a curse that was put on a particular property. Now, I've been a real estate broker for a long time too, and I've looked up records of that property, and it's been sold 70 times.
Your property?
Not mine, but a property near here. They, no one wants to live there.
Wow, and
it's like, gee, I wonder why. So me being me, I go out there in the middle of the night and I do some clearing things and some tobacco offerings, and, you know, let's calm this down. And, you know, that's kind of the stuff I do. But with my own property, it took, you know, a pastor, it took a shaman, and it took a couple of local Native people to clear finally my house. And that was because of something that someone else brought in. And I can't really say who that somebody was, but they know who they were, and they brought it into my house. So that was really, really touchy. And I knew, I'm very sensitive, and I felt it the minute it crossed my threshold. I felt it. And because that person was still here, it took a while for me to get that out. But yeah, it's amazing. People don't realize the reality of things like curses and hexes and thought forms and all of these things that have been a part of my life forever. When you are gifted enough to see them, mm-hmm. I think we have a responsibility to try and move it away. Whether you take the thing of moving it, transitioning it, banishing it, whatever you decide needs to be done. I think if we are given the gift of seeing them and knowing they're around, we should have the responsibility of fixing the situation. There's a lot of innocent people that get hurt.
That's, I agree with that. It's kind of come to the point here, though, where let's say, for instance, there are still a lot of children. We've always had children, and then there's just a lot of different spirits that they've, Becky from the Tucson Ghost Society has come out. She's the only one I've actually allowed to come out in video and come out and document evidence. And there are so many spirits here that are just like normal people, like walking outside. You know, it's kind of like, you know, some of them I see, some of them I don't. And, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, I believe that we have here, and you might have this at your house area too. We have definitely a series of portals every film, and just, it's like, I think you can see me, but crossroads, like where they come, you know, walk, because I've seen them literally just walking. I've seen two layers of walking people through the bedroom. I haven't seen them in a couple of years, but they would walk right through, like 6 feet over me, and then another 3 feet above that. So there are two different ones. So I know that we have this sort of a, it's almost like a bus station here for
Grand Central.
Interesting. So it'd be kind of interesting if you came here to see what, you know, you see. But as long as I feel like we have it under control and we're not being affected like we were over a year ago, then we're good, you know. So how do you feel about that? Because you are in a place where the Native American spirits and the animal spirits and all of those are there with you.
Yeah, I have an interesting animal spirit story I'll tell you really quickly. Because of animal rescue, they appear. I don't know where they come from sometimes. They appear, they find me. And I had for many years seen a white cat. And I'm like, I don't have a white cat. And then I realized I could kind of see through the cat. And I'm like, okay, it's a spirit cat. And one day I was feeding horses and this cat was on the fence post. And I saw it and I went, hello, kitty, kitty, kitty. And it cocked its head and it disappeared. And about 3 weeks later, somebody brought me a half dead white kitten that they had found in a field. And I looked at this kitten and I went, oh, hi, it's you. And I still have that cat. You know, and it's been many years. You know, he's lost a tail, lost part of an ear. You know, he's had his battle wounds, but he's still here. So that does happen. They pick you. Yeah. I firmly believe they pick you. You know, it's amazing. The spirit I had, there is a maybe 10, 12 year old spirit Apache boy, and he will walk around and he'll watch me and he tries to talk to me, but I can't hear him. So he just waves and I wave. And, you know, if anybody was driving down the road, they'd see me waving at nothing and think, well, that woman's really nuts now. But he's good. And if they are benevolent, I have no problem with them, you know, being here. It's the ones I have had to come up to me and ask me to open the door so they could cross over.
Okay.
But I am not, if they're not causing any harm and they're just like waving to me, I'm not going to try and force anything because I don't want that karma, you know. But if they ask me for my help, I will help them because I was gifted with that ability.
I just love this. I feel this is great. And it's really neat because I, you know, a lot of people are not like me where they actually see.
Right.
So that is kind of, I know there's lots of people out there, but not a lot that I actually know.
Right.
First, I know they're out there. But the other thing was the animal spirits. And I believe it's because of my connection with the animals like you. That was my very first spirit. I saw spirits when I was a kid, but I think through trauma, sexual abuse as a child, that was another thing I had to go through on But then I stopped having any type of, pretty much any type of sight until the car accidents that I had, those two back-to-back near-death car accidents. And that's what started me on my new journey right. with spirit. But it was the animal spirits that I saw first, and that was a white horse. So that's like my spirit horse, I think, is the white horse, but that was my first one. So and from then on it just became, I mean, easy for me. That's part of the deal, is the animal spirits very, very cool. So I love that that's like what you are.
Yeah and you know, I've had two near-death experiences where one of them, I was actually, they called a time and I'm like, whoa, hang on, coming back now. But I died on an operating table twice. And it was, you know, everyone, you go through the light. Okay, yeah, there's a light. There's a tunnel. Yep. My person in the center, everyone says, you know, it's a God, it's a being. It was my great-grandmother. And I'm like, wait a minute, you are not God. And she laughed and she says, the experience is different for everyone. It's not your time yet. And she put her hands on my forehead and I was awake. And it was the weirdest thing, but both times it was my great grandmother. I'm like, well, this must say something. And I've talked to many, many people about it. And I find it's not that uncommon when you're not really dead, you know, when you're not really crossing over, for it to be someone you know.
Wow. It wasn't your time. Wow.
It wasn't my time, you know. And I said, okay, that's two strikes. I guess the third one will be it, right? And my guides talk to me like all the time. And I would hear laughter when I would say that. They're like, it's an interesting life I live.
Wow, I love that. And it's like twice too for you and for me. So I want to take a little bit of a break here just for a second and talk about some of the other shows that the Web Radio Network has. One of them is, and I really like this show, is the Family Spirit in Paranormal, and I hope everybody will take a listen to those two. There's plenty more there on the Wiregrass Entertainment broadcast, and if you know, you can always look it up on Web Radio Network or the Wiregrass Entertainment broadcast to find all the different shows that they have on there. And you know what, Kelly, these shows, there's so many great ones. There's people that are, I mean, until I got on this network, I didn't actually know, you know, I just didn't know them. But when I started to research them, I'm like, wow, these people are amazing. There's the Fox Paranormal is a whole family. And actually one of the daughters or one of the people of the Fox Paranormal show is as part of the Family Spirit International show. So it's like this family has a lot going on, and they're pretty amazing if you haven't looked them up. Another sponsor I wanted to thank is Caveman Fabrications. So everybody that's listening, give a listen or give a look out for cavemanfabrications.com. Fabulous artist named Joseph Benedict. All right. So I wanted to kind of also say something about you as an artist, not only an artist, but you also have a series of books that are made for children and about animals, which I just absolutely love. Can you talk about that a little bit too?
Sure. That's Laylee and the Elephants. The book, everything in my life happens weirdly, okay? I will preface everything with that. I had a dream one night that I was watching a movie about a little girl running from a forest fire in Thailand with elephants. I that was my dream. And I woke up very early in the morning, middle of the night, really. And I wrote down just a sketch of what I had dreamt. And when I was more awake, I went back and I went, huh, that's a children's book. And I wrote it out as she is a deaf girl in Thailand. When I have my youngest grandson is deaf. And when I was looking up deaf children, you know, things happen in your life and you just Google them. I went down a rabbit hole on what life was like with deaf children in different parts of the world. I don't know how I got down that rabbit hole, but I did. And I found out that the worst place was Thailand. That up Wow. until very recently, if your child was deaf, you just sold them into a sex house. And I was like, oh no, this will just not do. And I started talking to people in Thailand, and I started, you know, finding American citizens who were living in Thailand and just investigating. And when I wrote the first book, I wanted to show, I wanted to set the base for Laylee, because she's deaf, but she makes friends with the animals. Gee, doesn't that sound familiar? Because the other kids don't really want to play with her. And the series was based on, she's going to grow up. You know, most book series, the kids stay at 10 years old forever. My idea was, she's going to grow up and she's going to become an environmental activist. And she's going to save the elephants in Thailand, because that's what I saw in my dream. But well, the first three books are out. The first one is making friends, that she is, you know, making friends with the animals in the forest, in the jungle in Thailand. The second one is where she's looking for her elephant because she can't find him. And the third one that is published is called Smoke. And it introduces the environmental disaster that is Thailand. The more I wrote and the more I studied, the more I found out the elephants are projected to be extinct in Thailand in the next 10 years. And that's just, that hurts my heart. You know, so that I'm working on writing a script for that. I'd like to make it a cartoon series.
And yeah.
I'd also like to make it a movie, the movie that I dreamt when I wrote the books.
So. Wow. So that's amazing. And I too write from my dreams. Not say draw, but yeah, totally do that too. Wow.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like a heart project, you know, it's something that I'm passionate about telling the story. Initially, my daughter didn't want me to make this child a boy because she felt like it was an invasion of his privacy. So that's why she's a girl. But, you know, now he's older and he's going, why is it not a boy? So you can't win. You know?
Well, you could add another character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's going to grow up and she's going to meet someone who is working to save elephants in Africa. So it's going to evolve. Yeah.
I was just, I was asked by one of the rescues in town today she just asked me, like, Mercedes, what can we do to bring awareness? Like, and I was kind of in a bad mood this morning or whenever it happened, but because it's a frustrating situation because there are people that, you know, obviously just don't care. They're oblivious. The elephants are a very important thing that I could get so furious about. And one of the songs that I was trying to remember a song about the animals, because my next, excuse me, when I get done with this next couple of songs that I'm working on, what I've been putting off working on for a year is a song about the animals. So I have a bunch of songs to help bring awareness to the animals.
Yeah.
Okay. The songs and the videos will be about helping the animals. And one of them I was singing today, trying to, like, what were those words? What were those words? Because I know I wrote them down, but it was about the elephants. And that's so weird. It's a key part of, but it's my line is elephants and ashwagandha. I know there's elephants everywhere, but it rhymed and it was an ashwagandha. it's about the elephants in the circus, where, you know,
That's
how they
horrific. Yep.
How they get there. So I'm on your road. I'm on your road. Maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll be out there doing this together someday, or doing
doing. I would not doubt that a bit.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And, you know, people can get upset about people being an activist, but I want to be an activist like yourself that, you know, somebody has to be their voice.
Yeah. There is a wonderful organization that you should check out. Everybody should check out. Run by a couple of friends of mine. It's called Art for Elephants.
Oh, okay. I think I've heard of this.
And they do amazing stuff. Tira is a beautiful artist, just an amazing artist. And it's inspiring to me what they do, because they're kind of doing ecotourism to raise money for the elephants in Africa.
Okay.
You know, if you support the tribes, they don't feel like they should be hunting. They feel like, oh, wait, these animals are more important to us and more beneficial for us if they're living and people can come see them. And, you know, and it sounds like a really simple thing, but she's put so much into it. And it's just, they're amazing people and just an amazing organization.
Okay, so Art for Elephants. I'll look that up, Art for Elephants. I love that. I'll look them up too. I appreciate you mentioning them. So you said that you had another podcast. Can people listen or tune into that?
I'm not sure how long Blog Talk Radio keeps them, but it was called The Road to Enlightenment. And I started that podcast because my first book was called When on the Road to Enlightenment, Don't Forget to Take Out the Trash. I am writing a sequel to that book right now called Sometimes the Trash Takes Itself Out. it was something that had been in my heart for years. And I felt like I was meeting so many people, and I was speaking at battered women's shelters about what I'd gone through. And I felt like there was just more that I could do. So I wrote my first book, and unbeknownst to me, it would change my entire life. I mean, it truly changed my entire life, not because it was so successful or it did so much, but because the guy that I was married to got very jealous of my TV time and started cheating. So, you know, the trash did take itself out, and I will never dedicate a book to anyone again. It just happened that way. And it was going through the whole book process. I was so wrapped up in, I have to promote this because this has information in it that will help people.
Right.
And I was too focused on booking myself on podcasts, on booking myself on TV shows. I put books in my car and put myself on a book tour because nobody told me not to. And I was like, well, how do you sell books? Well, you have to get them in the hands of the people. You know, you're not going to sell books sitting at home in your pajamas, you know? So I put myself on a book tour and I went to a lot of major markets and, you know, I did what I thought I was supposed to be doing and came home and everything was different. So, you know, it happens. It does. And then speaking with other people who have started out on the same journey that we're on, I find that people fall away. You know, the universe knows better than we do. And sometimes people don't belong. And you know, you can love them to the ends of the earth, but if they don't belong in your life, the universe is going to say, nope, go over here. And that's kind of what happened. So it was bittersweet, but it really set me off as a writer. You know, I've done magazine articles, and I had a magazine with a partner for a long time, Path Magazine, P-A-T-H-E. And we did that for a couple of years, and I've written books about domestic violence. There's one called Resilient. Written compilation, lots of compilations I've been included in. But you know, there's a whole new world opened up for me. I would not, even though I've always written, and I used to write songs actually, but I never saw myself as an author. And what that experience did was show me, you know what? I'm an author. Yay. Who knew?
You know, what's interesting is that from my experience originally writing songs is I found it very interesting, but I would write songs and then they would happen later.
Yes. I've had that too. Yes.
And so it's almost like preordained or destined. And it's interesting. I've written many songs about abuse. In fact, that's what I thought I would probably be a champion always for, domestic violence or things like that. And it's weird, but I don't know what happened. When I switched into like a therapist, like through my life, when I did that too, you know, became that, it's almost like I became more of the spiritual person. So then I guess I healed from that, mm-hmm. you know, from my being an abuse victim.
Right.
Which is, and I'd write about it and I'd sing about it. You know, like, but then when I became healed from that became my focus. But I totally understand where you're coming from. You know what I think you could write a book about is how to do what you did to get on a tour and, you know, to be a, you know, to have a book like that, because even people like me, I'm like, how do I do this? What do you do? You would be a perfect person to write a small book or some kind of book on how to do it.
You know what I did though? It was really easy. I just Googled the shows I wanted to be on and I called them.
Yeah. Okay.
I literally was my own PR person. And, you know, I would tell them that I was representing me and, you know, I would use a different name and I am Kelly Fitzgerald's assistant, and they bought it and, you know, they would book me and, you know, I would show up and they would be, oh yeah, your assistant was really nice. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I'll let her know.
Oh my God. Love that. I actually do. I've done that too, because like, you know, you have to be the person. Like I did that with my husband's art. I became his, you know, I'll just put on that hat. Like I'm the art. And I got it. I booked him so many things that way, just by being that, you know. Yeah, I totally love that, Kelly. That's so cool. You still could write a book on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on 2 scripts and 2 books right now.
So you have like connected, did you say you lived in LA or you were
from,
I live in
San Francisco.
Oh, okay. San Francisco. Yeah. Oh, so you're in the Cali area. You know about the Cali people.
Yeah. And you know, living there for so long, there's a very difference between what we call NorCal and SoCal, because, yeah, you know, the people are incredibly different. I have a lot of friends that live in the LA area. And I know a lot of people who do things for film and TV and, you know, music and all that kind of stuff. So I've kind of kept in touch with them. And every once in a while, somebody says, hey, you have any ideas? And I go, what's it worth to you? You know, because, you know, ideas are the currency a lot of the time.
Exactly.
So I hope to get a couple of projects underway this year.
Well, I want you to, you know, once these things start happening, you let me know and we'll put you back on and talk about it.
Okay.
Come back on.
I'd love to.
Oh, good. And so I'm pretty sure we might be coming to our time. I don't have a clock, but I have a feeling we're coming to the time of the ending of the show now. So before we do, I want you to please give everybody, our wonderful listeners, thank you so much for being here, everyone. So can you give our listeners your information? How can they contact you? What can they look? I know you have a new website. Tell us about
it. Well, the website is still expanding, as they tend to do, I have learned. But it is intuitivemediumkellyfitzgerald.com. And Kelly is with an IE. You can also find me on Facebook. energy. I think I'm energy healer, Kelly Fitzgerald, or Kelly Fitzgerald energy healer, one or the other, but you can find me. If you look for Kelly with an IE Fitzgerald, you'll find me.
I found you very easily with Kelly Fitzgerald, and it pulls you up all kinds of things on you. So I don't think they'll have in their book, the pictures of the book come up because I use those as I made my little promo.
Yep.
So I really love my little promo of you. I'm going to put that on YouTube so people can see it because it's really cute because your little book pops, your books pop up.
Yeah. You did a good job on that one. Yeah. I'm everywhere. I have done so much in the last decade or so that I'm really easy to find.
And so do you have an email that you could give out, or do you can pop onto your website? And
the website has a contact page. So, and you can book through that or through Facebook.
And can you tell us also how to reach you for the Chiricahua Humane Society? Do we just look that up too?
Yeah, Chiricahua Humane Society has a Facebook page right now. We haven't quite gotten the website up. Every time we think we have it up, something else happens. Technology is not my strong suit. but yeah, Facebook is the best way. And Chiricahua is Chiricahua.
Okay, awesome. And so so even, I mean, you could even take donations for the animals Very good. You know, actually, so we've been talking about starting a nonprofit for our animal sanctuary. I call it our sanctuary here. So I think it's neat that I didn't know that you had a nonprofit over there. That's really awesome. I really want to just say to our viewers here, our listeners, that you can find this. I'm going to take parts of this show and actually put them on my YouTube channel, Mercedes Lucky Benedict YouTube. And so you'll be able to see pictures of Kelly's books and Kelly and just different things throughout the interview segments that I'll put together for this show and all my shows on my YouTube channel. And you can find more about me, Mercedes Lucky Benedict, at MercedesLuckyBenedict.com. That's MercedesLucke Benedict. What's the last part? Benedict.com. And when you do that, you'll be able to go and find out, you know, all the stuff. We have the web radio network, we have YouTube, we have my work as a therapist. And I wanted to also talk to you about that, Kelly, really quick before we go off. So you actually can take clients over the phone like I do, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Do you see people in person also as you work
I do both. I have turned my recording studio into sort of a Reiki room.
Okay. So
I do a lot of energy work.
Good. They can come there and then people can call on you to, can you do what I do, which is like, you can go, you can talk on the phone and see, I mean, see. Okay. So we're very similar. So we're remote. Okay. So we've got to have you back on to talk about remote viewing. We didn't even go into that. So not, I kind of keep a hush hush. I'm not so much anymore. This last year, I have actually gone on and said it, whether people think I'm weird or not. I actually, you know, I'm just out there saying it. So I'm sure you've had that too, because people do think that's a little off, but you know, it's just what it is. So, you know, so they can reach you at your website, and then I will make sure I put that on my little YouTube videos. And let's see, as far as, is there anything else you wanted to say, Kelly, before we head out of this show tonight?
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, it was fun. I loved hearing all this. And so I definitely, before we go, I want to say thank you to Stan Fikes and his wonderful wife, Teresa Fikes. And it's her birthday, so we're wishing her a happy
birthday.
And I and Web Radio Network, we are so thankful to be on this this network. It's just been a blessing. And I want to say thank you to all the listeners, because each week that this show has been on, it has gained an audience. And it's like, every time we get more listeners. And so what I would love for the listeners to do is please go to my YouTube channel and push like, what's that word, Kelly? Subscribe.
Subscribe, yes.
Go to Kelly's Facebook and join and ask to be friends. Ask to be friends with me. That way we can keep track of who is wanting, who is listening. Yes. And if you're listening, let us know. Let Kelly know. Let me know. Did you hear us on this podcast? I mean, that's the way we can, we want to thank you all for listening. So if there's all of you people listening, but just let us know you're listening. And then we can like share that with everybody. And please be sure to share this show and like the show and tell your friends about Kelly Fitzgerald, because this woman can help you, especially listen to all the things that we just talked about. Animals, helping spirits, if you've got paranormal issues, if you've been a victim of child abuse, or even, adult abuse, like parenting. She's gone through that with her own family. I'm not saying your parents abused you, but you were in a functional family. So you've literally lived the life of many lifetimes in one, and you're able to actually help others to deal with all of these subjects that we've talked about today. So it's really an honor to have you on here. And I hope that people that see this, either hear this now or in the future, will reach out to you, Kelly. Give us your website one more time.
Intuitive Medium, Kelly Fitzgerald, and Kelly's with an IE.
Yay. And then you can find her books there. And can they order the books from you, Kelly, or are they on Amazon?
I'm on Amazon. Everything is on Amazon. If you Google, or if you go to Amazon and search Kelly Fitzgerald, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff that I've done.
All right. Thank you so much, Kelly. And we
thank
look
you.
Gerald. Excuse me. I want to make sure I get your whole name. Thank you being on here tonight with me. And I look forward to having you back on again in the near future.
Okay.
And thank you, audience. And thank you, everyone on Web Radio Network and on Spreaker. Thank you so much, and have a blessed evening, everyone.